I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people, and then, Lord, once again being reminded where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We do ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you, and then, Lord, to empower our lives the way that you would have us to be empowered, that we might honor and glorify you, your name, and the cause of Christ, Lord, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, bless, open up our hearts and minds to understand you in a better way, Lord, even today. And we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is To the Will of God. To the Will of God. And so we're going to see really what the Lord is talking about here through Peter about the will of God. And basically, this is the Christian's battle cry: to the will of God. Amen. Everything that we do, everything that we say with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul should be to the will of God. And so we want to focus in on a couple of thoughts here, three this morning. And that is, first of all, the same mind of Christ: to the will of God. Amen. To live according to God in the Spirit, to the will of God. And in fervent charity, to the will of God. And so here we find the Lord's battle cry. Now, I want to stop and ask you, before we move any further, when was it exactly that Moses was used to influence people for the cause of Christ? Do you have a maybe in your mind an idea of when it was exactly that the Lord really started to use Moses for his honor and glory? Was it not when he was on the backside of the desert, when he was 80 years old, that God began to use him for his honor and glory? And the reason why I remind us of that is because sometimes people think, oh, listen, you know, I've missed it. No, we haven't missed anything with the Lord. If you're here, God still has a purpose for your life. Amen. And he wants to glorify himself and honor himself in and through your life if we want that. He will not infiltrate. He will not make us, but he will use us and he will be petitioned by us if that's our desire. If it's not our desire, then don't be surprised if nothing happens. But if it is your desire, rest assured you can call upon the Lord and he will hear you. He wants to hear from you. In fact, he is waiting on us to call upon him that he might show us great and mighty things that we don't even know about. And so tonight, or this morning here, we're going to consider these thoughts here that have to do with the battle cry, not just the battle cry, but the purpose of the local New Testament church, the Lord's body of believers for his honor and glory, and specifically his will for your life and mine specifically. So look with me, if you will, back at verse 1, and let's consider the same mind of Christ. And basically, when we say that, we want to understand this thought: to be armed or equipped with the same mind and the same idea that the Lord Jesus Christ had. So verse 1 again, he says, "For as much that as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." Who did he suffer for? Did he not suffer for the church? Did he not suffer for us specifically? He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourselves, be equipped with the same mind. Now, we can't do this of our own power, but we can go before the Lord and say, oh Lord, that I might be minded the same way that you are. Lord, guide me to see things as you see them. Help me to set aside my ideas and look to what you have said. Isn't that, listen, the reason why it's so important to be careful about who you're listening to is because one way or another, they will influence your life. I mean, let me ask you this.
Was there not a problem back in the 90s when they were looking at all these video games that were very violent? Weren't people that were into psychiatry or into psychology saying that's going to influence the next generation when they're put in front of these things that they're just killing people and it's for points and it's for fun supposedly? Isn't that going to influence them? And lo and behold, but my goodness. Are we surprised that young people are committing these heinous crimes? I don't know why it popped up, but I was looking at this video here from this lawyer, and he videotaped the sentences that these teenagers, and some even younger teenagers, were given for murder. They committed murder on people that they knew, a 15-year-old boy, and they tried him as an adult. And he killed this little baby. He couldn't get it to shut up. The girlfriend left him with this baby. He's 15 or 16 years old. And he put a pillow over the face of that baby and started to punch it in the face. And killed the baby. And there he was. And there he was crying in tears. Oh, listen, I didn't mean to kill him. Well, you did, didn't you? You did. Well, what influences people to go to that far extreme if it's not outside influences and not being taught the right way to go? And so that's why it's important as a child of God that we are careful about what we put into our hearts and minds. By the way, listen, it's not just for teenagers. It's not just for young people. It's for us also as adults. Do you know that this world is the enemy of God? Are you sure that Jesus said the world? What does the world think about the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to know it hates him. Do you remember what Jesus said? Listen, he says, you've heard it's been said that, you know, that it's wrong to kill. It's wrong to commit murder. But the Lord said, I want you to know, I'm saying unto you, if you hate your brother, you've already killed him in your heart. You've committed murder in your heart. And so is it possible that we could be watching these things and becoming desensitized to these evils and these things that are taking place in our society? And by the way, maybe we would never commit murder, but could it possibly be that these things would also veer our heart or steer our heart towards neglecting the Word of God? Having more concern, looking to see what's on the next thing that's going to be played or the next program or the next movie or the next source of entertainment, to where we neglect the Word of God. So it is important that we say, Lord, I need to have the same mind as you. I want to care about the things that have to do with you, or I will neglect them. I want you to know I'm saying that. Lord, if I don't call upon the Lord to give me a heart for him, do you think I'll get it? I won't get it. So, Lord, I want to have a heart for you, and I want to partake in and participate in things that honor and glorify you, because I really want to have a commitment towards the one who died for me. I don't want to play games. Lord, I want you to influence me for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will amaze you at what some people who profess to know the Lord are participating in. Maybe I ought to say this, caught up in. Trapped in, right? So why do I say that this morning? Because I want you to know that this is what the Lord cares about. Listen to me very carefully. You can have a calendar full of all different kinds of events, and churches do that, but can a church have all different kinds of events, all kinds of programs, and the people of God in that body of believers not be right with God? Can they be caught up? Can they be trapped in things that are dishonoring the Lord, that are causing them to have a cold heart, that are causing them to be neglecting their time in seeking God and expecting God to work with them and calling upon the Lord? And so therefore, the light of God, listen, there may be activity, but the light of God is out. And the light of God is, the purpose of the light of God is to point us toward the Lord and to point the lost world towards God. So listen, if we think that, oh, listen, we need to do this and we need to do that, make sure it's in the Bible. Make sure it's in the Word of God, because we can do all kinds of things and miss God completely. Hey, listen, Did Moses have some good ideas and good intentions, but he got in front of the Lord when he was trying to help out the Hebrew, his fellow Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian? Did God want him to kill the Egyptian? Probably not, right? Probably not. But why did he do that? Because he was doing that which he thought was right in his own eyes, in his own heart. And so we need to have the same mind of Christ so that we don't get caught up in or excuse things in our lives that God doesn't want there. We have to have a purpose. In other words, we have to go before the Lord and say, God, I need you. Now, let me say a little word here about seeking the Lord, a little idea here about praying. You don't have to time yourself. I would say if you could pray, if you just set aside a time, for some people in the morning's a good time. For some people in the evening, maybe in the afternoon, whatever that time is, that you keep an appointment with the Lord and call upon him and say, and by the way, an altar would be a good idea. In other words, it's just where I get alone, me and the Lord and him alone, and have no distractions and call upon the Lord. And then if it's a minute, if it's 2 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, whatever it is, that's between you and the Lord, and the Lord will build that. And in the process of praying, may we say, God, I need you to give me the same mind that you had. Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that I would see the difference in my life that you want to make in me. Lord, that I may understand that I want you to explain to me, God, what it means to abide in you. That's the important part. Lord, that I might experience your power to deliver me from myself. Do you know the greatest person that will hinder the life of the believer? It's ourselves. Lord, I want to be kind. I want to be gentle, but I don't have that strength. And I'm not going to ask you to make me strong because that's not what he wants to do. But he wants to give us his power that we might glorify him in being kind and gentle in all of these things. So keep that thought in mind here. And notice what he says, arm yourselves, verse 1, likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Is Jesus Christ our example? He's just given us an example there. He says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, he's saying he's denied the flesh. The flesh wants to do this, the flesh wants to do that, but I'm going to deny the flesh. And that's therefore you're allowing yourself not to be taken by that, and you're calling upon the Lord for this power, and he's giving us this example in the Lord. Notice verse 2, the purpose, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, do you believe that this morning? Okay, now let me just share this with you. It's one thing to believe it. It's a different thing to ask God to fulfill it in your life and mine. That's the difference. We can believe that all day long. Do you believe that there are devils? Absolutely. That doesn't mean that they can't whip up on us if we're given to those things. Is it possible for a child of God to consort with and to delve into things that God doesn't want them to? And of course, the answer is yes. But to the will of God, it ought to be our hearts and our desires. And that's how it's done in our lives, by believing that God never asks us to do anything which he will not perform for us by his power. See, we will never have success, we will never have victory if we're asking God to empower us. We will only have power if we say, Lord, I'm asking you for your power, your spirit in my life, for your glory. Lord, give me whatever it is that might be besetting you, whatever it is that's overcoming. And by the way, here's a good one. Lord, deliver me from mine own thinking. Deliver me from my own way of thinking. Do you know that you can quench the spirit? You can say, well, that might have been for Paul, that might have been for Daniel, that might have been for this person or that person, but as for me, you don't know my troubles. Oh, God does. And God wants us to be victorious, but never in our own strength. And by the way, all of us will experience defeat if we simply look to ourselves, even as a saved child of God. That will never come to anything good if we say, oh, I'm a saved child of God, but there's no power in my life. And if there is no power in your life, then there's only one place you can go to get power, and that's to the throne of God. Lord, I need you. I need your power today. Every day, by the way. So, believe God and walk through the day believing that God's promises for who? For us. God's promises are for us. That's faith. Lord, faith conquers the impossible. Trust in the Lord. Let me be specific. Faith in the Lord conquers the impossible in our lives. And so, Lord, I'm going to believe your promise. He's already given it to us. I want to walk in your promise that when you died on the cross, that was for my sins. When you rose again, that was for my new life. Amen. And did he already rise again from the dead? Yeah. Then guess what? What do we have now? New life. We have the new life. So, Lord, I'm going to walk in that truth today and walk expecting you to perform that which you've promised. And by the way, Lord, deliver me from me, because I can drag myself down. And if you stop and think about it, we are the only ones that defeat ourselves in our relationship with the Lord. Look at verse 3 and consider this. And this is where God shows us where the battlefield is. Look at verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the ungodly. When we walked in lasciviousness, when we walked, who's he talking to? The believer. When we walked in lasciviousness, why is he talking to the believer? Because the battle's not yet been won unless the believer understands where the battle is at and how to fight it in the strength of the Lord. So he's telling these believers so that they'll learn something. Listen, Peter's not just speaking words to fill up the book of 1 Peter. Amen? The purpose of 1 Peter, the purpose of the whole Bible is to faith. It's to give us faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? By the word of God. And so the whole purpose of the word of God is to give us a truth to look to and to live by. But we can leave it right there in the chair and walk out and be defeated the rest of the week. Look, all we have to do is ask God to fight our battles, amen, and to give us the victory he's already given that we might walk and understand what it means. Lord, I'm already in you. Are we not in him in Christ? That was a question. Are we not in him in Christ? We are. All right, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. Though notice, lusts, plural, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He's talking to believers. This is what we used to do. Wherein they think it strange, the lost world, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now we understand the hatred of the world. Listen, we're not saying anything unkind to them. We just don't participate in those things. Mark it down, the world will see it. Mark it down. The world will see it when we don't participate and we don't go to the same places that we used to go before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They will know that you don't have to say anything to them. You don't have to tell them it's ungodly. Just say, I'm sorry, I don't do those things. Well, listen. I thought when you got saved, God set you free so that you could do anything and everything. Oh no, he did. He did. He set me free so that I could do everything that honors and glorifies him. He set me free that I would not do those things that I used to like to do, that I don't like to do, because I understand them in the light of God now. They are a reproach, they are reprobate in the sight of God, and because of his redemption, because of his grace and mercy that he's given to me, guess what? I don't like to do those things anymore. And by the grace of God, I will not walk into those things and not be fooled by those things that bring destruction and dishonor to our God, to our lives, destruction, dishonor to God. So they think it's strange. Verse 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead? Listen, we are the ones that are to bring the light of God through our lives into the world that they might know. And we don't have to proclaim it. We just have to let the life of Christ come through us. And God will guide us to say the right things in the love of God. Listen, the best thing we could do as believers when we're asked is, because God has set me free, I am no longer in bondage. You know that that's news to the world? You know what the world thinks their sin is? They think that's freedom. Oh no, that's bondage and destruction. I, as a child of God, have been set free. Amen? Man, so we ought to be happy about that. We have been delivered from the bonds and chains of darkness. God has given to us life. So we see this idea to be of the same mind of Christ, to the will of God. Let's look at the second thought, and that is to live according to God in the Spirit, to the will of God as well. Look at verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And by the way, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, it's in lowercase there, but I want you to know this is the way God works. This is the word pneuma, and it has the idea of the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. It's in lowercase because here's the truth. When our spirit, when we abide in Christ and Christ is in us, we do have a human spirit that's been made alive when we were born again. That's the quickening of our spirit that is so intermingled with the Spirit of God, you cannot tell which is which. They become one. Isn't that what Jesus said? They become one with God. We can't say that we're one with God if we're caught up in the things of the world, if we're trapped in bondage. We've not been set free. We've maybe been given eternal life. That's one thing. But how about deliverance from this life? To be the light of the world, to the glory of God, that royal priesthood that he's talking about. May I tell you something? What we're learning this morning from the Word of God is more important than any little shenanigans we can do to bring people in. You can do all different kinds of things to bring people in. I promise you, that's not what you're going to give an account for before the Lord. What we will give, what we all will give an account for, is our own life that was lived for the glory or not for the glory of God. I promise you, no crowns are going to come for just bringing people in. Now, we will get crowns for God using us to win people to Him, to Christ in the Lord, in salvation. But I promise you, you can have all different kinds of programs all day long, and you never see Him come on Sunday, do you? Who are we trying to please? Who are we fooling ourselves? And look what the Bible, look what the Word of God is saying that God is interested in. It is so important that we have the same mind of Christ, or we will go out way out in left field and miss the Lord completely. We need to be mindful and careful about, listen, you want to see, do you want to see people saved for the honor and glory of God? Try that again. Do you want to see people saved for the honor and glory of God?
Yes.
I believe that. I believe you want to. Let us look to God, how God says He's going to do that. Ready? By using vessels that honor and glorify Him. Not by a preacher, not by a youth pastor, not by any of this nonsense that is, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Word of God. And look how deceptive, and by the way, I want you to know, I've been involved in all different kinds of youth programs, all good ones and not so good ones. But I want you to know, when I look back on that, I will tell you very few have been influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. God's been merciful and graceful, but here's the truth. The way that He wants to use us is that we might be a vessel for His honor and glory in purity and in truth and in righteousness, God's righteousness. And then we see, if we're not careful, we're trying to excuse ourselves. See, I can feel good if we got a church that's running 30 people, 30 young people. That's good, isn't it? Now I don't have to do anything. Now I can just sit back and just kind of watch my TV and do whatever I want and sit on my blessed assurance and not see the change of God that He wants to bring in my life. Listen, what do you think we're going to give an account for? You think you're going to get something for what somebody else was doing? No, listen, God is going to bless you or not bless you and not reward you for the things that were done for Him by His power or the things that were not done by Him in His power. He's not going to bless anybody for coming up with a new idea. Tell me where He says that in the Bible. God says, listen, here's the plan. Follow it. Go do it. If you really want to see God work, He will be working in your life. And in doing so, he will shine his light through your life and mine to have the influence he wants it to have. If we are not influencing the world with the gospel of Christ in our own lives, could it be that we're missing the Lord? Could it be? And I want to remind you of something. The Lord is still, the eyes of the Lord are still running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or right towards him. Amen. He's still doing that. Listen, he wasn't done with Moses and he's not done with us. If he was done with us, we'd have been taken out a long time ago. You are here by, and I am here by the mercy and grace of God. We have all had things happen to us in our own lives that could have wiped us out. And yet we're still here because God's not finished. So what does it mean to live according to God in the Spirit? Look at verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Boy, howdy, ever. Amen? If it's ever been, it's more so in our lifetime. So he says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That's important. So we need to believe the promise of God that he's going to supply every need through his power in us by his Spirit. So does he deliver us? Can he deliver us? Nothing's too great for our God. Can he change us to live a holy life? Here's the real question. Do we really want it? God's not asking us to do it. God's just asking, do we want him? Question, do you want the presence of God? Do you want to see God working in your life and delivering you from yourself on a daily basis? That's his plan, not mine. That's God's plan. He wants to bring us to the place of worship. We're trying to forget all that and do some other stuff. And God says, I'm wanting to bring you to the place to where you stand in awe of who I am. And so notice what happens here. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And what does he say? And what? Watch unto prayer. What does that mean? Watch unto prayer. To be continually reliant on God for victory. Watch unto prayer. What are you watching out for? If it's at night, and there are pitfalls that have lions at the bottom of them, and our adversary as a roaring lion is looking and seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, our flesh are pitfalls. And so what God, I need your light to keep me from those pitfalls. You will never miss them. You will fall into the pitfalls of this life and drown and sink and die in them if we're not looking to God and being watchful unto prayer. That we might wait and watch unto prayer. When Jesus was going to the cross, did he not ask the disciples to watch and pray? And what did they do? Oh, they fell asleep. Where do you think the church is today? I didn't say it. And if you didn't say it, you probably thought it. Is that where God wants his church at? Lord, at least, Lord, let me not be sleeping. Lord, I pray for the church that you've placed me in. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Every week, we ought to be in prayer. And the best way, I've told you before, take that church directory and flip through there and just pray. Take a few moments to pray for the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God in their lives and in your life, that we would not be found sleeping when the Lord returns. Or caught up in some things that is dishonoring to the Lord. And by the way, it dishonors God if we're not whole with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our souls seeking him. And don't use your human reasoning as to what that means. Ask God, Lord, I need you to tell me what that means. Lord, I need you to tell me what it means to abide in you and you and me. Lord, did he say that if you'll ask me anything and ask God the Father in my name, he'll give it you? How about to understand what it means to abide in you so God can bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit? Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. That's love. What is fervent charity? That's love that's on fire. What does that mean? And by the way, what did he say there at the end there? He says, charity or love shall cover a multitude of sins. That means we don't talk about them. That means we don't say, do you know what brother or sister so-and-so? No, that means we don't talk about them. You know why? Because that's the way that God loves us. He doesn't go flaunt. He's not the accuser of the brethren. Satan is. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, this is a recipe to set God's people and God's church on fire. It's what it is. Why? Because it's God's word. But if we're not careful, we start leaning to the arm of the flesh. And you know what we need? I know what we need. The word of God. We can come up with all different kinds of ideas. But I think it's high time that we, if we really want to see God work, that we as individuals commit to calling upon the Lord to set our own personal lives on fire and also all of the saints that we are part of the body with on fire too. Amen? Amen. That's what God wants from us. Oh, now, Brother George, I don't know about that. You know, now I got to take time, me and God, you know, and do stuff. I got to find an altar somewhere in my house, and I got to open up the church directory because, you know, I can't remember. I'm speaking for myself. I got to, you know, I can't remember everybody off the hand. I can go pretty good through it, but inevitably, if I don't go through it, I'll leave somebody out. I don't want to do that. Lord, help me to pray one for another. You know why? Do you know why we pray for one another? Do you know why we will pray for one another? Love. Love. Amen. Do you know why we won't pray? We don't love. We are caught up in me, and I don't have time to take 10 minutes out pray, 5 minutes, whatever it is, to pray. See, God says there's only one person that is responsible and accountable to me for their life. The blood-bought life. The life that was purchased with a price, the blood of Christ. There's only one person that is accountable to him for that. You know who that is? Ourselves. Ourselves. Do you see the problem? I hope we can see the problem. In your own mind, I'm not saying you're not doing this, but in your own mind, are you calling upon the Lord the way he would have you? That's the answer. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we knocking on his door? And oh God, we need deliverance. Oh God, we need to be filled. We need to know as a body of believers, we need to know and we need to seek you and what it means to abide in you. And then he says, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So as we consider this, we have this idea of what is this fervent charity? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if any man speak, we do talk, don't we? Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man speak, if we're going to talk, let us consider what God has to say. Let us speak the way he speaks. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability, listen to this, which God giveth. Why? Listen, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And then he finishes with amen. That's the key, really, to fervent charity. That's what covers the multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that we partially cover, but that we completely cover. We don't mention it. We can learn all kinds of good things in a classroom, but when does it become of any use? You can learn all kinds of things in a classroom. I used to read about the Vietnam War when I was younger, in my 20s. I don't know why. Maybe because it was going on when I was alive. And I thought maybe when I got old enough, I'd be there too. And you know, they would make officers out of people with a four-year degree that had no battle experience. Oh, they gave them a crash course training in the classroom. But when they got out in that jungle warfare, that was a brand new animal. And I found out, as I was reading these books, that the wise lieutenant would listen to the sergeant to gain the experience so he wouldn't have to pay with it with his life. He would listen to those who had years in the battlefield. There's no one else but Christ who knows the battlefield. And we could learn all these things in the classroom, in the church, but it's when we put to use what God has given us in the real world, in the everyday life. Lord, I want to abide in you. I want you to abide in me. I don't want to be a powerless Christian. I want to see your power and your glory in my life. What do you think would happen if Northwood Baptist Church, because this is the church we're a part of, if the whole body of believers were to say, oh God, show me your way. Lord, teach me what it means personally to abide in you and me. Do you think that would please God for the first part? Do you think that might please God? If we all, as individuals said, I'm going to call on God this week to show me what it means to abide and to walk in his deliverance that he's already given, he's already promised. Lord, help me to understand this for me in my life. That church will be blessed by God. Amen? But here's the good news. If we do it as individuals, we'll be blessed by God. You know why? Because that's what God's asked us to do. God's not finished with us. He has us here for his purpose. He has created each and every one of us for his purpose. But God's not going to drop it in our laps if we don't seek it. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord says, follow me. And isn't it amazing? He's the shepherd. The cattle farmer and the sheep herder are two different people. The cowboys are in the back with the whips or on the side driving the cattle. Where's the shepherd? He's out in front leading them. How? By his voice. By his voice. So here's the real question. Are we all hearing the voice of God calling unto us to follow him in his way? God, open up our hearts and minds and our spiritual ears to hear your call, because he's not done yet. He is not finished. May we take our eyes off the world and put our eyes on Jesus. Because if we spend time in the world, that it'll defeat us. It'll quench the fire of God. Where is the fire of God found? It's not in the evening news. Where is the fire of God found for the believer? It's in his word. So this morning, God is still calling. And God is waiting, as he did for Moses, to see if we'll come to him and walk on his holy ground and call upon him to send me, Lord. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We do thank you for the reminder. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your love and mercy that you've given to us when we trusted you as our Savior. And then, Lord, I stand amazed that you want to use us for your honor and glory and reveal your power and your blessings in our lives every day. That's what you've promised. May you strengthen the faith you've given to us, that we might call upon you as a body of believers to see your great and mighty hand and power in our own lives, that we might truly be the light you've called us to be. Bless your people here this morning, and if there's one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize it's only by coming to you and believing that when you died on the cross, shed your blood, and rose again, that you paid for our eternal life. Lord, bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.